Okay. I have heard that ghosts are afraid to be near holy name or to enter temples. What is the difference between us and ghosts? Okay. This, whenever the ghost question comes up, it makes people very interested and a lot of questions come up. So, I will give you a PowerPoint presentation on ghosts to satisfy all your questions. Can we turn this on? Okay. It is visible to you? So, we all have three levels of being. There's the if you see center is the soul, then around that is subtle body, around that is the gross body. Now normally, the soul along with the subtle body live in a particular gross body. At the time of death, the soul and the subtle body leave the gross body and enter into some other body. Now in the case of ghosts, what essentially happens is that the soul along with the subtle body, they leave the gross body, but they don't get a new gross body. So, how a person becomes a ghost? So what has happened is, the gross body has been left. That means the person has died. So once the person has died, then the subtle body and the soul, they are meant to go to a new body. But the body that we have, it's a facility for the soul to execute its desires. And this facility is provided based on certain karmic credits. So for example, if a person, say, commits suicide, that person was supposed to live till the age of 60. But say that person at the age of 30 because of frustration commits suicide. Now by one's destiny, one is going to get the next body as per one's karmic qualifications after 30 more years. And for this 30 years, the person was supposed to live in this particular body. But they have destroyed this body. So now they have destroyed this body, so they can't live in this body. But they don't have the karma to get the next body. So then they exist in a disembodied condition. That means, oh, when the soul is there with the subtle body, but without the gross body. That is the ghostly state of existence. So how are ghosts different from us? They don't have a gross body like we have. And often ghosts are portrayed as very fearsome creatures, very frightening creatures. But ghosts are not just, they are not so much dangerous creatures as they are frustrated creatures. Why frustrated? Suppose, say, you know, this camp is going on, and say after this, now there's lunch, prasad, there's going to be a big feast. But suppose your stomach is upset, and you know, you have to take some simple soup or something like that. Now if you see everyone else feasting and you have to take soup, it's irritating. Now suppose the stomach is lifelong upset, and there's no chance for cure. And so throughout your life, you see everybody else feasting and you have to take only soup throughout the rest of your life. It's even more miserable at that time. So, what is that? When we are sick, what basically happens, the desire to eat good food is there, but the physical structure necessary for eating and enjoying that food, that is not there. The physical apparatus is not working. So, ghosts live in that kind of condition, where they have the desires which we have, they are present in our mind. Mind is a part of the subtle body. So, a ghost may desire to eat a gulab jamun, but the ghost has no tongue to eat the gulab. There is no physical structure there. It only has a desire. So what happens? There is desire, but there is no capacity to enjoy, so there is frustration. And that's why the ghosts largely exist in a state of frustration. And sometimes, normally when a person is frustrated, what happens? They take out the frustration on someone. You know, if I go to office and my boss shouts at me and I am very angry with the boss. Now I cannot shout back at the boss. But then I am going along in my car and somebody cuts across me and then a whole volcano explodes in that person. Why? Because that's what a person is there and available for me to shout at. So like that, what happens? Ghosts have their pent up frustrated desires. And those pent up frustrated desires, sometimes they express themselves in the form of possession. So haunted, we talk about haunted places. Haunted places means places where some ghosts might exist. Now, possession is a more specific phenomena. In possession, what happens? The soul itself enters into someone's body. So normally, in my body, I am the prominent soul. There may be germs in my body, there may be worms in my stomach, but they are not controlling this body. They are just having their own bodies over there. So I am the, this body is my body right now. But sometimes, if some souls are very tamasic, see, there are three modes of brutal nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. Ghosts exist largely at the level of tamoguna. So at the level of tamoguna, at the level of mode of ignorance, if people are there existing, they drink too much, they live in tamasic lifestyles, then they become vulnerable to possession by ghosts. So when they are possessed by ghosts, then what happens? The ghost enters into them and the ghost takes over their body practically. So like a plane might get hijacked and the air traffic controller is saying, take this plane, the plane is supposed to go to Greece, but suddenly the plane is going to Iran. Why is it going to Iran? Because the person who's hijacked has taken control of it. So like that, when a ghost possesses a particular body, the ghost hijacks that body practically. And then that person speaks and acts in different ways. Ways completely different from their normal. And there are well-documented cases of this. You know, the theory of evolution was proposed by Charles Darwin. Along with him, there was another physicist, Alfred Wallace. He also parallelly proposed a theory, but later he retracted the theory, and that's why he's not considered the founder. Now, Alfred Wallace, he also did a lot of research into the paranormal phenomena. Ghosts and other things come under paranormal phenomena. And he has documented, he's written a book called The Spirit World, and subsequent researchers have further written books on this topic. So in The Spirit World, he explains there are well-documented cases. Say, for example, of a person who was born and brought up in French, in France, and suddenly he starts speaking Swahili. He has never met any person who spoke Swahili. He has never spoken Swahili, and suddenly he starts speaking Swahili fluently. And he's speaking Swahili, and his people around him don't even understand what he's speaking. It's all gibberish for them. But then a person who knows Swahili comes up, hey, how is he speaking Swahili? And then during that period, that not only the person speaks things which he could not have spoken earlier, but he also acts, his voice becomes, the tone becomes different, and he behaves as if it's a different person. And this goes on for a particular amount of time, and after that the ghost may stay in that particular person. So what has happened over here is, a ghost who was previously in a Swahili body, that person has taken over this Frenchman's body. And that's why he is now speaking this way. So there are documented cases of not just personality change, but also cases of people exhibiting knowledge which they could not have had. So there's a Maharashtrian woman in Nagpur. She had never been outside Nagpur also, what to speak of outside Maharashtra. And suddenly she started speaking Bengali, fluent Bengali. Her readers were bewildered. The neighbor said, hey, how are you speaking Bengali? So what happened was, it was found that she had become possessed by a particular ghost. So when ghost possesses a person, then it is almost as if a different person, that person itself changes. The personality changes, the speech changes, the language may also change. And this kind of possession is done by a soul, especially when the soul has very strong desire to get something done. And the victim, the person who gets possessed, that person is tamasic and doesn't have the power to resist the possession by the ghost. So when we practice spiritual life, when we chant Hare Krishna, there is tamoguna, rajoguna, sattvaguna. Krishna exists at Shuddha Sattva. And the more strongly we connect with Krishna, the more we are able to resist the influences of such things. And that's why usually ghosts don't possess devotees. Or even those who chant the holy names, they say there are various methods for exorcising ghosts. Exorcising means driving out ghosts. So people may chant some mantras or people may do some rituals. And ghosts have been reported widely. And some of the ways of trying to drive out ghosts are very dangerous and they are not at all recommended in scripture. there are certain Muslims, when they say that somebody may, what is the word they use for ghost? Shaitan aa gaya hai. So what they do is, they get the person who is got a ghost, they place him on a potter's wheel. Just make him go round, 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 round. And they think, if you make the ghost person go round and round, the ghost will get chakkar and go out. But all that happens is the person only gets the chakkar. Person gets vertigo. But the point is that some of the methods for exorcising ghosts are not at all proper. And they involve a certain amount of aggressive behavior which can be harmful to the person. But usually, if a person chants the holy names and practices bhakti seriously, then ghosts will not possess. And even if they possess, by the chanting of such names, those ghosts can be driven out. So because ghosts largely function in tamoguna, and because bhakti is practiced in sattvaguna and it connects with Krishna who is above sattva, so that's why usually ghosts stay away from those who are devotees or who chant the holy names of Krishna.